alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man.
Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
Yo, what's up, y'all? Square Pimp Brigade, GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution's being podcasted, and I am excited. Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. We got a special guest in the building, but first and foremost, Harry, what's going on with you?
Oh, man, you know me. I'm living it up, Dante. I'm flying high, as the kids say. Is that what the kids say? I don't know what the kids say.
I don't know, but you look a little cranky today. No? Cranky?
Maybe. Maybe.
I can see it in you. But we'll get into that, because let's talk about it. Fuck it. Yeah. But first, let me introduce my guest. This is crazy, because I watched this motherfucker grow the fuck up. Just did this Netflix thing on Pete Davidson and Friends. Saw him with his fucking 12-year swagger on stage. Was just like, I was loving it. Give it up for my man, Jordan Rock. Give it up, Jordan Rock. What up,
man? Yeah, what up? Cooling, man. I'm cooling. I'm a weekend, you know? Trying to figure out life now.
Yeah, it's funny because watching you and Nico and stuff, I watched y'all motherfuckers when y'all first hit the scene and just, you know, as youngins, you know, just starting out, and it's just really dope to see motherfuckers with that kind of fuck you confidence on stage.
You gotta bring it back, man. You gotta bring it back. Like, fuck this audience, man. I'm over that, like me.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
Yeah, I've been doing this. I know what the fuck I'm doing. You motherfuckers are plumbers and secretaries. Let me tell you what this thing is about. And it's crazy how when you start doing that, you give them no option but to fuck with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Either hate me or fuck with me.
Yeah, I used to get on stage and they used to be like, yo, like me. You trying to tell a joke immediately, like, blah, 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 blah. Now I'm like, bro, I don't even, like, some people want to go ride the wave. I'm like, bro, I don't even want that nigga's laughs.
Right. And we know what's worse when you see a motherfucker that you don't respect artistically, and then you mad at the audience because they laughing at him because he's hacky, and you like,
yeah.
What does it say about them if you like him and me?
See, that's why I've been trying to perform for less white people.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's both, man. Cause it's, dog. You know how you do. You when you do the black rooms.
I like a mixed crowd. I'll say I like a mixed crowd. I like having a nice mix so we can bounce and we can go. Cause black people don't really give a fuck about politics. Huh. White people don't really give a fuck about black people shit.
Yeah.
So I need both of them there for us to bounce. So
they feel like they need to be on their best behavior. It's like companies here.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because I've always said black audiences, a lot of times they don't fuck with sarcasm. And check this out. If you think about this, you're a smart dude. You'll get it. Sarcasm is saying something that you don't mean, but saying something without really saying it. And you're a Brooklyn dude, so it's like if somebody say something that they ain't really saying, you like. So what you saying, my nigga? You know what I mean? It's like, what you trying to say, yo? Like,
yeah.
So it's offensive. Sarcasm is offensive because it's dishonest. Where white people invented sarcasm because they always saying some shit without not saying it. And so Chitlin' Circuit base level black comedy is like, nigga, it's some funny shit. Tell me what happened. Don't say nothing that I got to fake fuck you. Like, what are you really trying to say? And so we see that as offensive in a way. And it's weird because black folks code switch. We have to know how to code switch. So when you have what you're saying is when you have a mixed audience, they're like, oh, I got it. I need to get the sarcasm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't even know, man. Black comedy, it's not even just the Chitlin Circuit anymore. I feel like it's like three levels of black comedy.
Yeah.
There's bougie black comedy, there's regular black comedy, and then there's nigga comedy.
Yeah. it's a weird thing because I say this to Harry all the time. Mm. One of the things about all these social media and the streaming services, like it used to be, if you had a movie and it was black people in it, it was a black movie, and it was black movie was a genre. Just
yes,
black people in it, and now
it was actually a good genre too.
Yeah. Well,
it was a good genre.
All tossed together. Now you can have black horror, you can have black romance, you got black suspense, you can have black westerns, you can have a mixture of black, you could take a
I will say this though, black movies have been really bad since Vivica A. Fox stopped working with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, okay.
Like every black movie since that has looked like a Lifetime movie.
Well, I think there's still struggles, and there's still places that cater to it and others that don't. Like Stars is open to a lot of black programming. Like Stars
is great.
Like I just got into my girl got into P-Valley.
Oh,
there, Aaron.
Yeah.
It's love great. It's great. I didn't want. At first, it was like too much for me. Like
first season.
We're still watching the first season.
Season is a little shaky because now they got money behind them. So now. Yeah. But it ain't gritty no more. But
no, Stars. Let me tell you, man. Stars. Yeah. The worst thing that can happen to a TV show on Stars is niggas start watching.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets too popular.
Yeah. Anytime something gets popular on Stars, they just lose their mind.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, though?
Because greed.
How we can make money and how can we fuck it up in the process of, but I mean, I don't even think, you know, I think with the streaming services, you don't even necessarily look at movies per se, like everything is in the same genre, series, you know, it's all the same, it's kind of the same thing, it's just that when they take an interest in it, then the non-creatives start sticking their toe in the water and fucking it up, so it is what it is, but I do like the fact that it's given a lot of other people, other cultures, an opportunity to kind of do their art. So, which I think is interesting even about comedy. Now, what, even in comedy, you could be different. They're catering to different levels. I mean, there's a whole African genre, which is separate from African Americans. I just watched this movie. I don't know if you saw this movie on Netflix, Triple R.
Nah.
It's an Indian movie. Like, about colonization. One of the dopest action flicks I've seen. It's closed caption. Check it out. It's 3 hours. One of the dopest movies I've seen in a fucking long time. Even the fucking the dancing and shit is doper than the dancing we're accustomed to. You know?
Oh, easily, man. Foreign films are the shit because American films are limited.
Yeah.
And then also foreign films, that's a big thing about foreign films. People in foreign countries don't go to the movies like us. Yeah. So they might go see one movie a year. So when they go see a movie, that shit better be a comedy, an action movie, a romance, you know, sci-fi. Like, they got everything in
it. Yeah. Here's the thing with the fans. Like I said, I watched Jordan grow up, man. I remember when Jordan was a youngin' was running around with that little cutie. Right, and the little light skin joint.
Yeah.
And he was like running with her tight, and then it was like I remember you saying to me, "Dog, I don't like."
Like, yo, man, I'm playing house right now. I just woke up one day and was like, "Man, I'm playing house. I'm fucking lying to myself."
Yeah.
Also, I hadn't had a whole phase yet. Neither.
Yeah, right. Because this was early on. You hooked up real early.
Yeah, 21 to 25. I lived with my girlfriend.
Wow. Oh, that's prime learning years.
Yeah, that's
good learning years. I've been married. What are you talking about?
Prime.
And then what did you wake up and just decide? It's like, what? I remember seeing you at New York Comedy Club where you were just disgusted. And I always have to tell you, I always have that feel like I could feel a disturbance in the force. Mm. I'm like, Jordan, you're all right. You remember when I was like, all right, what's going on? Where's your shorty at? You're like, man, that always starts like that, man. And I like, what happened that made you go?
In that relationship, you know what it was? They removed themselves from what I was doing.
What do you mean?
I was really into this person, but I guess they didn't see the vision of what I was going for. And then as I started to climb and get more successful, instead of it, when I told them something good, they being like, oh shit, it's lit. You could feel them be like, all right, so how do I fit into this?
Right, right.
And then, you know, then things just kept on going up. Like, I booked Love on Netflix. I had to go to LA.
How long you been on Love now?
Well, I was on Love on Netflix. I did 3 seasons.
Okay.
Love Life on HBO Max just came out. That's only 1 season. But I did that from 2014 to 17.
Uh-huh.
Last season came out 2018.
Dope, dope, dope.
But yeah, when I went to there, that was when the relationship was like, she didn't get it.
Now, let me ask you this. If she'd have got it, would you have kept? You, I mean, because you really dug her, though. She was lit. Yeah.
She was lit.
I'm going to tell you something that fucking, you know, because I don't know if you know, but I've talked about it on the show. I had a son, and I got married again.
Oh, congrats. I didn't know any of this happened.
Well, it's, wait.
No. Your congrats are
wait
past
to the end. Wait to the end. Okay.
Yeah.
She was a fan of the podcast. She came to New York basically to get me, right? Okay. Unbeknownst to me, I was being hunted, you know, and then she ended up getting pregnant, and I was like, I was 52, had no kids, and I was like, yeah, I mean, she cool. Like, we get, you know, I have enough. You know what I'm saying? I have enough breath and knowledge to handle this, whatever comes up. So, but this is funny what you're talking about. It's when you start to, when a chick is with you and you say, even if you don't say it, but there's an air of who you are, right?
Yeah.
And they like, oh yeah, this, he's dope, he's creative, he's, but when you show that you're even more than you said you were, she has to start looking at herself, because now she goes, well, am
my
I?
Mother.
Hey, mom, how you doing?
Yeah, you can go. We'll get you out the frame.
Well, they'll go, wait a minute, am I enough? Do you know what I mean? But rather than say to you, man, I'm feeling insecure, I don't feel like I'm me, I feel like you're moving on and leaving me behind, so that you could just say, because like I said, you liked your chick, you would have probably just said, nah,
no, this is the crazy thing, man. I'm an open guy, I'm a very self-aware guy, so I have those conversations,
right?
So I like to be, let it be known, I'm aware that's what's happening. I'm 100% here. It is all in your head. And that has nothing to do with me.
Right, right. And but she didn't believe you.
No.
But this is my point, is because it's in their head, there's nothing. Like you can't fix a broken clock. You can't make a clock less broken when it ain't broken in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not cheating, you can't not cheat more. Do you know what I mean?
That's my love language. Yo. Women don't realize a nigga's love language is showing up every day and not doing half the shit you don't even know I'm not doing anymore.
That you could be doing.
Yeah, it's like you don't even understand. I'm doing the most by not doing the most. Yeah.
It's almost like what you should do is get all the phone numbers and bring them in every night, like receipts. Like, here you go, just so you know. Bam.
Not calling.
Bam. These are all the numbers I'm not calling, just so you know.
Yeah.
Then you're being abusive.
That's the thing. Like, not being monogamous is a choice that you make every day.
Yes.
Like, everyone's always upset when you cheated. No one's happy you didn't.
You know, it's funny. I worked for the phone company my whole life, right? And it always, people, when you back in the days when motherfuckers had landlines, how many times did you, I mean, even in your lifetime, how many times you pick up the phone, the dial tone was there? Boom, boom, boom. The one time the dial tone's not there, yo, this is some bullshit. You like, dog, but we've been working to keep this shit going. When the last time? I haven't been in your house since 92. Like, what are you talking about? But it the thinking is, the minute the dial tone is not there, everybody's panicking and they don't see the work that's being done every day to make that dial tone be there. And I think that taking that for granted is
yes. Yeah, like even my girl now, like, so I'm like, yo, she'd be like, you got a spot? I'm like, whoa, I don't be like, you got a meeting?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's good that you jump on it right away, because a lot of guys might not be able, that's your being, like what you said, you being self-aware. A lot of guys would be like, yeah, yeah, why you wanted to do something, or what, you know?
Well, that also comes from the, now he knows that. It, you know, 22-year-old Jordan Rock didn't know that necessarily.
Yeah, 22-year-old Jordan Rock would have been tap dancing.
Right.
Yeah. What do you mean, babe? What do you mean? Okay. Can I do something for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'll be like, yo, go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, look, this is happening.
Yeah.
You are my side bitch. Comedy.
I have no side. First of all, I have no sides.
But I'm saying my comedy is my
main chick.
That's yes, my wife. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
My wife. Everything else is my side bitch, because I can't do things for you without doing this. I'm not going to be happy without this. I'm not going to have the things. And even if you leave, I'm not going to have the things that I want for me if I let you fuck this up. So I'm not going to. And I'm, you know, it's funny because, Harry, we have said this before. And it's funny how, like, the old principles come back. I would go, you got to be, as a man, you got to be strong enough to be strong enough as a man to protect
her from her emotions and her, your emotions.
Her emotions.
Yeah.
You from her emotions. And the relationship from her emotions, because leaving it unchecked, she will fuck up everything. And yeah. It's got nothing to do, like you said, like, I'm not even
begging. Sometimes you got to protect her from, like, everything, even your own feelings. Like, that's why a lot of men feel frustrated in relationships. I know I do at times, where you have to put your emotions aside. Like, I can't even be sometimes angry or depressed in front of her. Or whatever, because then I gotta console her
for your
because I'm angry and depressed. You know what I mean? Like, now her day is ruined. Like, yeah, that's why we just shut up and say I'm tired. You just you go, yeah, yeah, I'm just tired. Don't worry about it. Because it's weird when we're dealing with something, we just want her. I want her far away from it. Let me figure this out.
Chill. Yeah. Just let me sit here and block.
Yeah. But when they're going through something, they want you in the shit with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm like, yo, I'm not a teddy bear.
Yeah,
I'm a person. Yeah.
And it's hard. And you just, I'm tired. That's what I find myself. I'm tired.
You're a security dog. What do you call it? What do they call it?
Pet. What do you call it? A pet?
An emotional support animal.
An emotional support. Yeah, that's it.
You're just going to pet me. You can't. I'm a human being.
That's what it is. It's like women. This is the thing I've realized. Like, this is what us men do. We get into arguments and we get this look on our face because we're trying to realize how we even got here. Because we're in the argument and we're like, yo, I know I did something.
Right, right. Or at least
I didn't do all this, though.
Right, 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 right.
I know the dishes is a problem, right?
Right, right, right.
But they can't be the problem.
We can't be having a 3-hour conversation about the dishes.
You gotta be an accountant. You gotta, and the old school accountant, the nigga with the visor and this thing, right? You gotta
the adding machine.
It's not adding up, bro. No, it is not adding up.
Try this shit again.
Now I know I did something.
Right, right, right.
Granted, I did something.
It's really more like digging away, and you're finding the root underneath. The root is damaged. You're like, what is this surface area shit? You gotta find out where the poison. You're like, no, this is not about dishes. This is about feelings and emotions that led to now we're using the dishes.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
That is not the problem.
The problem, yeah.
It's a funny, so I got married, and then I'm like, so I never said, you know, we don't never say, yo, this is the dude I am. But apparently, this was the dude I was, this is why you came from England to get me, right? But then, here's what I think that dudes don't understand. If you are even more than what the perception was, it brings out her insecurity, because now she's wondering if she can if she can measure up. And this is not you, because you, like, I know you couldn't measure up in the first place. Like, you're not dope as me. Like, you're not supposed to be dope as me. But I dig you. You're dope because I think you're dope, because whatever parts I'm missing, you fulfill that. So it was weird, because she met me, she heard about me. I did Juan Epstein. I did Siphon, Peter Rosenberg's Juan Epstein. And she heard me on Juan Epstein, became a fan, 6 years she was telling her boyfriend in England, you need to listen to this nigga. He didn't. She broke up with him. She came, found me. We had a baby. And then after we had the baby, somehow I don't know nothing. Nothing I say is valid. You know everything. I got thousands of motherfuckers. But I mean, Jordan, you've even talked to me about some funky shit that was going on when you was in your D. Well, you know what I'm saying? We've had Chris DiStefano, Giannis, Lenny Marcus, you name it. I've talked to niggas about niggas. I was the go-to nigga. All of a sudden now I don't know nothing. So it was funny because this is the thing that really made me trip. Cypher, she don't listen to my podcast no more because I don't.
Because you talk about her.
I don't know. Well, I don't know nothing. Nothing I say is valid, right? But she's still listening to Juan Epp and them, right? So Cypher says, yo, my man Dante told me about this bum bum. They talking about women such and such. He goes to Peter, you know Dante. Peter goes, yeah, he helped me through my divorce when I was going through my divorce and blah, blah, because I don't know if you know Peter had a double blowy in a limo, right? And then told his girl he had a double blowy, right? Because he's Jewish and he can't
help
himself, right? And then the whole thing went to shit. And I was like, dog, don't forget, you Peter Rosenberg.
Like, you deserve to get a double blowy every now and then.
And even if you did, you'll feel bad about it, apologize. But I mean, it really, that's the...
Honestly, don't admit to cheating unless you plan on leaving anyway.
Exactly. You're not gonna. So he goes, yeah, Dante helped me through my divorce. And he helped me move on. And yeah, well, Dante said da, 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 da. So she calls me up. Yo, they talking about, he goes, yeah, you know, he got married. He got a girl from England. She was listening to our show and he got a little baby now. And they're like talking about it. She goes, oh, they're talking about us and talking about the baby. And in my mind, I'm like, not that I disrespect them, but dog, they fuck with me because I'm dope. Like, I'm a nigga that figures it out.
Yeah.
But you sucking the dick of niggas who suck my dick without saying it. You know, not saying that they suck my, but you know what I mean? You sucking the nigga dick who's sucking my dick, who's asking me advice and stuff. But you listen to them, and now we're validated because they say we validated. When the reality is, they don't know your name. You just my wife that had my kid is what gives you legitimacy. So how am I not, like... You know what I'm saying? It's mind-boggling that the change becomes from your personal insecurity where you now...
Well, they'll change the narrative rather than... And sometimes I think they don't fully understand what they're dealing with.
No, it's not.
It's a subconscious thing, too. They feel insecure or something, and then so the narrative changes, right? So they have to change the narrative to try to... It's almost like to pull you back, to take you down a little bit,
yeah,
so you're not as far away. But I also think it's subconscious. I don't think it's always malicious.
No, yeah, I don't even think they know. I don't even.
Yeah,
think
I don't think it's. Yeah,
I don't think it was a. I'll tell you the thing that was really telling. We was in couples therapy, and she was like, you know, she tells the therapist, sometimes. The legend is bigger than the real thing or some shit. And I was like, in my mind, like, bitch, you crazy. I go, let me explain something to you. You know, she was like, you have these issues with your father and his lack. I go, first of all, you know what I told you. You don't know the whole story. You know the things that I told you. You're not a therapist and you don't have your life together. Your life is this baby and me. Like, you haven't done extraordinary thing. I didn't go to England looking for you. You came looking for me. So don't get it twisted. I said, you'll never be able to define me as a man. Be clear. I know you 3 years. I know me 53. So if you're trying to tell me who the fuck I am, but based on what the fuck, just don't. Because I'll never give a fuck about what you think.
Wait, is there an age difference?
Yeah, big.
What's the age difference?
32.
32, okay.
Until I was 52.
She was... What's her age?
32.
There's a 20-year age gap.
Okay, she was 32, okay.
But you okay. Know, I'm not an old... I'm an old nigga, but I'm not an old nigga. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, like, you would
You're not the average 52-year-old guy.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, no, wouldn't be like, Jordan wouldn't be like, yo, I'm not talking to this old nigga, you know what I'm saying? What the fuck? You know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm here. I'm here for it.
Like, comedy's all, like, look at Sherrod. Look at Sherrod. Sherrod is the last of the rock star. Like, Sherrod is still the fucking living the rock star shit.
Yeah.
And still learning and growing. And so it's like, it's a different 50. Some, how old is Sherrod now? 50?
He's got to be getting there.
50, 50.
I ain't going to out it.
Yeah. Guys, do he give a fuck? You know, Sherrod don't give
45, that's how old he is. All
right. Well, I'm saying, I mean, Godfrey's 52. He look younger than you.
Like, yeah, Godfrey great. Like, Godfrey looks great.
Yeah, yeah. Godfrey look like he's 24 still. So, but, you know, I don't really even give a fuck. But it's what I realize is that recognition. It's like when the cards is on the table, when you really are righteous about what you believe and you're credible about what you believe, that's scary to people who ain't righteous about that.
Well, it's like they don't have the audience, you know. They don't have the backing to. They don't feel as confident in their beliefs as you, because you not only do you get to say it, you hear it.
Everything.
Like, people tell you this is funny, this is true.
Right, right, right.
Whereas if she was confident fully enough, like, that wouldn't matter. But since the confidence is a problem, then, you know, since her lack of confidence is a problem, your overconfidence is a problem.
Yeah, it's even more so a confidence, because the disparity between the two is going in opposite directions. And it's like, and I've found, I mean, I don't know if you find that to be the case. It's like that you, but look, here's a crazy thing. Look at fucking Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Like, that.
Yeah.
Like, even there's a disparity in confidence. And then you watch this chick chop him down till she's shitting in his bed. Like, I've never fucked up that much that I had a bitch shitting in my bed. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, man, I think that whole situation, they were abusive to each other. And with that being said, we got to look at what Johnny Depp was going through. He just lost millions of dollars. He was in a weird part of his career where he was fucked out of money financially.
Wait a minute, because?
No. She just showed up.
Wait.
And he was dealing with losing a lot of money. His agents.
How was he losing money before her?
His agents, his managers ran off with a bunch of money. That's when they met.
Oh, really?
So imagine you a up and coming movie actress.
Yeah.
You get with this big guy. You think he's like this, but he's actually in like a really weird part. And you're trying to, like, you know, assimilate with him, come up with him. Yeah. It's gonna be some beef, you know. Like, a nigga stressed, man. I've never lost $1 million.
Nah, yeah.
You know, I'm doing a comic strip two nights from now. I'm stressed.
And you don't want to miss that spot. That $85. I still want to get that $85. Yeah, I feel you.
I can imagine what's going on in that relationship, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's a, you know. I think we tend to, you have to, as a man, you have to be more cognitive about it. Like, because if you're reactional, that's the beginning of the end.
Like, yeah, if you're reactional, niggas, that's what I've realized about niggas in general. If you're running off emotions or fighting off emotions, you already lost.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why when we watch a fight, it's like two people in a fight.
Yeah.
It's a nigga not thinking. And there's a nigga looking where he's swinging, you know? The nigga that's not thinking, he's like, oh, he runs in with his head down. Yeah. The nigga thinking is like, whoop, boop, boop, it's over.
You know, I went to the Gervonta Davis Romero fight in the bar. Nigga.
Same thing?
First of all, let me say this. Brooklyn is alive and well, and Baltimore fit right in, nigga. Like, there was a seamless hoodness between Baltimore hood and Brooklyn hood. They fit in very well. Like, you couldn't tell the difference.
It's called Instagram. Instagram is the link of the hoods these days, man. Oof.
35 person fight on the floor. I have floor tickets. 35 niggas on the floor. Niggas losing Prada sneakers and all kinds of shit, gold chains flying all over the place on the floor. So it was real hood. But I went with somebody, and the minute he dropped Romero, I was like, we got to go. Let's go. Snatched. We was out the door because, nigga,
you knew. You knew.
Oh, this is, it was already tense. It was hood. Javonte was on the ropes going like this, ah, and we were watching that on the monitors. Sure enough, somebody shot up outside. People was running. I was like, yeah, but good fight though. But what I'm saying is Romero was emotional, talking shit, like you said. Javonte was just waiting for the moment. You're right. You can't let emotion have a seat at the table, because you're gonna miss.
Yo, it's so many, like, it's, yeah, we don't control shit no more, man.
Yeah.
Well, a phone is in our hand all day. We get this old shit. Our sensors are on an overload. The only thing we can control is how we react to things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the last freedom we got.
And that's the thing about relationships. You have to stay in control. You have to. Because not in control, I mean, and if you ask any dude, not being in control is never attractive.
Yeah, yo, I'm not gonna lie. I haven't had my own apartment in like 2 years, and I will say, the pussy that I get now, like, it feels different than when they were coming to my place.
One way.
Yeah, like I'm not in full control, you know.
Yeah. Because you feel a certain way, and she don't feel a certain way, because you still the nigga on Netflix. Do you know what I mean? See?
Yeah.
It's you in your head going, yo, I should be better. And that's why it's so important for men to put their happiness first. Because your happiness, like, your happiness, and this seems like I'm being chauvinistic about it, but I'm not. It's because your happiness includes her. Like, what kind of girl you got if she's unhappy? Like, what kind of dude are you if you're... So part of the vein of your existence is satisfying her, in a sense. And without that, you're not happy about yourself. So it's like, she don't even give a fuck about where, you know, some chick is, you know, first on the off, you get some pussy and you're not in your own place. Nigga, she's just happy to be there, but you still holding yourself to a standard that she's not even thinking about.
Yeah.
When you say not your own place, what's the living arrangement, Jordan?
I'm getting ready to move in with my girl. We going to LA. I've been now in family home stacking.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So just on the road, you know.
Yeah. I did the same thing during the pandemic. I was at my dad's the whole time.
Yeah. So it's like I went from being the 18-year-old nigga with his own place.
Yeah. Yeah. And you feel funny about it, and it's just. But the standard is, I mean, that's the thing. We are harder on ourselves than they are on us. You know, like, I had a dude who got a bunch of consultations with me. He was in Puerto Rico, right? Dude from Puerto Rico. And he goes, he was a Walmart greeter, right? So he had a little older, little cougar mommy that kept coming in to see him again. And she, oh, hi. And he's kissing him on his, hi, how are you? And, right, he was like, yo, I think I'm going to ask her out. And then he goes, yo, but, yo, I don't have a car. And I'm like, at what point, like, this bitch has been flirting with you the whole time. Did she ask you if you have a car? Was a car a deal breaker? She just coming in, throwing you all this affection. You, let's be honest, you're a Walmart greeter.
She's not really expecting much from you to begin with.
Dog, she's good with whatever you got. He's like, but I don't have my car. You know, my car's in the shot. I'm like, dog, here's a funny thing. I said, I had a dude was talking to me about how he, you know, he grew up, his mom was not really supportive, right? Mom had him when he was 19. Mom's really not supportive. You ain't shit. She don't know how to communicate. She's just, you know, young mom. Plus, she's an immigrant. So it's like she's 19 with a kid. She's in this country where they hate her. You know, she's already hated. So she's not really equipped to have a child anyway, right? Yeah. Fast forward, this kid grows up with this low self-esteem. And he he's, you know, anytime a chick likes him too much, he don't like her because he don't like himself. So any chick that likes him too much, it's like, yo, what's wrong with you? You don't, you're not smart enough to know I ain't shit. Like clearly, if you like,
he's basically a self-sabotage.
Yeah. I'm in a club that I would never want to be in. You know what I mean? So I was like, first of all, the person who has defined what your value is, you can't look at your mom as a, you know, she's a 40-year-old woman now. I said, but you got to look at her as a 19-year-old.
With a child,
even though she's 40 now, like she didn't get to develop because of all of these things, being an immigrant, being 19 years old, being not having no help. And so you have somebody who hasn't emotionally grown in a way that now is dictated because of her age alone. Now she's telling you what your value is or what your value is. It's like, bitch, you haven't even really figured your own life out. You just happen to survive and older, but you're not no expert. You don't. Yeah. I was like, she got a man? No. She's in and out of relationships. I said, so this is somebody who's not, I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to talk to somebody about comedy, talk to Chrissy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Talk to somebody who did it.
Yeah.
Don't talk to some open mic. Don't ask no open mic, what should I do? But ask a nigga who's done it. I said, your mom has never been good at picking relationships, at navigating life. And now all of a sudden, because she's your mother and because she has a status
in your life, you think that it still matters. Like, that shit don't matter. After you get out, like, how old was the dude?
He's like 37.
Yeah, bro. You're after 25. You get to blame your parents till 25.
I say 26, but we
yeah, might- 25. Nigga. After that it's all on you. You a weirdo. You the thing.
Yeah. Now, did your mom teach you that, or was it your brothers, or was it?
Teach me what?
That to take responsibility, like to be self-aware. Did it? What do you think got you to that point?
I'm the youngest of seven.
Okay.
So, like, a lot of people just have never had six to seven other people, maybe eight, depending on, like, you do something, and everybody go, yo, what the fuck are you doing? Why would you do that? That's dumb. Like, people don't get that. Like, people don't grow up with, like, a level of self-awareness these days.
Yeah.
Like, and also, my mom is happy at 45.
Yeah,
she had a first child at 20.
Right, so
she
had her first rodeo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, some people, like my mother would be somebody else's grandmother. Right, but you know, the stuff that your grandmother would tell you, you'd be like, "Oh, what granny though."
Yeah.
But luckily, I didn't have to have that filter. You know, it was coming from my mom.
Right.
And then I had six. You know, I had five older brothers to look up to.
Yeah.
You know, and. Yeah, then I just spent a lot of time by myself in New York. So it's like, and I tell jokes and I write. So yeah, I had to be self-aware.
Growing up, did they give you any dating advice? Is there anything that you got from them about it? You know, you have older brothers.
Yo, I was a dater, yo. I was a dater. I was a kid. I had a girlfriend. I had girlfriends in high school.
Yeah.
You know, like I wasn't just the dude that was on the football team. Like chicks wanted to fuck me just because I was on the team. Like, I always had a personality. Like, I always
had to have one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I had to have a personality. So, yeah, and I was always in a relationship. So, I did high school relationship. I did the first year high school relationship.
Relationship, dude. Like, a serial going from one relationship to the next, pretty much.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I can say that. And then I had that five-year gap, 5-6 years where I was just doing me, but I feel like, you know, some people either do it before or after.
Yeah. Some people never do it, you know.
Do what?
Never get that chance to just kind of realize. It's funny, I helped this dude who was 50, was going through divorce at 54, and had his first threesome at 54. Like, I was talking him through his first threesome.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Those stories?
Yeah, it's a funny story because, have you ever had a threesome?
I've had several.
Okay. So the rule to a threesome is that
she picks the girl.
Right. She picks. I love you, my nigga.
Yo, I can tell you my stories, man.
I tell people there's rules.
Yo, I had two in my life.
What happened? What happened? Tell first us the story.
First one, she picked the girl. Great time. Right. Second time, I picked the girl. A lot of reassurance.
Yeah.
Just a lot of no, man. That's not. Nah, you don't got to do it like, I like how you do it.
The other thing is, everything has to go through your girl.
Yes.
You kiss her first. You touch her first. You fuck her first. You first. So my man, I was like, and every time I know, because he kind of got to this point where the threesome was because of, I walked him through it, like, step by step. Well, she's probably going to blah, blah, blah. Yo, she did. I'm like, yeah, I know, nigga. It's not my first road. And then I said to him, look, everything goes through your girl. So the girl, she picked the girl, brought her friend in. I was like, everything goes through your girl first. Unless she directs you to first, right? Yeah. Other than that, first. And if you think about it, it's just etiquette. It's just good etiquette.
Just like, relationship etiquette. Just like, yo, you're the first person. You're a priority here.
You brought me to the party. I'm your guest. I'm your guest here.
Listen, but like I always say, you can never be too eager for a threesome. You got to act like, what? Huh? Me? You think of me.
I mean, if you want to. I mean, if you want,
I wouldn't even think about it. Honestly, like,
so I was like, so he, the girl, and him, they're in a hotel room, right? He's 54 years old. It's a 23-year-old and a 25-year-old, right? Beautiful, like the fact that I was even able to walk him through this. But I said to him, he said, "Yo, I think it's gonna happen." I kept calling him, "Yo, listen, everything goes through the girl." He goes, yeah, I heard you. I go, he was like, yo, it's going to happen tomorrow. He was on his way. I go, yo, remember what I said? Everything goes through the girl. First round, everything, they laying out, they laying in the bed. His girl goes to the bathroom. No, the other girl, they're all sleeping. The girl goes to get up to the bathroom. He grabs her, right? Pulls her back, pops his dick in her mouth. His girl wakes up with this chick blowing him.
No good.
Ruin the whole
no
thing. Good.
No bueno. No.
Unless he was already planning on breaking up.
Right. So
that is a hell of a way to do it. I mean, if you got to go out, that's the best breakup. No one can really argue with that.
Yeah.
A good blowy. She goes, what is this? Like
a novella?
Pero why is this?
Da, da, da.
Da, da, da. So, so I go, so she gets dressed and I said, did you chase her? Did you go get her? And I just stayed and got hit. I was like, son, do you understand? I called you 9 times to tell you not to do what you did. Every time you said to me, this is what, he assured me over and over. And then I was like, he's like, well, how can I salvage? I go,
no, you don't salvage. It's over, bro.
No, it's over.
It's over. You might as well just fuck with the chick that was blowing you.
Exactly.
Because at least you know what it is.
Right. And
y'all got to have a super honest relationship.
And the next threesome, don't think that the rules don't account to her. Everything goes to her. She's the girl now. So it don't nothing change. Don't nothing change. But it's, you know, the self-awareness is, you know, I what I realize is, I mean, that's dope because I didn't have nothing but sisters. Yeah. So my self-awareness was watching them crazy chicks. Just watching how they operate and watching motherfuckers like pull their hair out trying to fuck. Just, you got no sisters.
I got one sister.
One sister. Oh, her.
One sister. She was right on top of me in age. She was like 5 years older than me. We went to school. We were going to school together, but she graduated when I was in like 6th grade.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. After that, I was in the crib by myself.
Yeah.
But luckily, I had the internet, you know?
Yeah.
I read it. I could go to forums, and if I wanted to do something, I could Google it and research it thoroughly before I did it.
What did you research life-wise? What was like one of those things that you would have researched? Dating-wise,
like
weed,
drums, or just weed? Like, you know, like anything.
Harry, you were foggy a little bit.
I was? Okay, hold on. I'll fix it. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. But did you Google like chick stuff? Like
not really. That was all experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like people telling me things like, yeah, like you telling me stuff, like everything was really just experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you always had niggas saying, "What are you doing? What the
fuck?" Yeah, yeah. What are you doing? Someone's always like, "Yo, what the fuck are you doing? Yo, what is this? You should like."
That's hilarious. That you just, I mean, it's good because then you don't make the mistakes that people.
Yeah, make. Yo, I never get the spaz. You spaz when you're the youngest person, the youngest person streams in the house. Everybody's like, "Yo, what the fuck
is
are you doing? Yo, like, you know, like." When everybody's young and stuff like that, you fight your cousins, you do all this stuff, and everybody starts to hold grudges, and that shit grows. With I came after all of that.
They were like, "Yo,
I came after all of that, brother." Already, you know, rich type shit. Like, yeah. I'm just looking at everything, you know, all of the pettiness, all of the everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Do this, though. I'm just like, all right, let's just not do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's lucky. You're lucky. But it's funny because I was watching your set on Netflix, and I was like, man, he's so old. You know what I mean? Like, he's the old, like, Jordan's a young old nigga.
Yeah, man. Been around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and to watch you just even talking about the generation underneath you, I thought that was really interesting. You like, yo, and I was like interested because I don't know them at all. You know, I don't know. The difference
between millennials and Z.
I'm just like, all right. So I was like, all right, Jordan, tell me, teach me something this time. I want to know, you know. So it was really interesting that it's funny too. Cause I realized that the trauma, like, I was talking to this dude in here and went through this trauma. And so, you know, self-esteem is so low, you know, people have gone through kind of, you know, sexual abuse and all kinds of trauma. And then what you do is you're trying to survive. Like, you have to survive. So say you go through some kind of molestation shit or some shit like that. You're not going to kill yourself. So you got to survive. So you have to, at 10 years old, you got to find a way to move forward. Right.
Yeah.
So I've talked about this a couple of times. How I remember I talked about this chick was molested at 10.
Yeah.
Her dad was molesting her at 10. And so she was just like fucking everybody, right? So, you know, just super promiscuous. And I realized the reason why, you know, at 10 years old, she's not even ready to deal with the intimacy and sex. And so what she basically did in her mind was, in her 10-year-old mind, was how do I deal with intimacy without dealing with the pain of being taken advantage of by somebody who's older?
Yeah.
And what she, in her mind at 10 years old, well, I'll just, sex is different from intimacy. So I'll just have a lot of sex with whoever I want. It won't mean anything. And then when I decide for it to be intimate, I'll decide to be, so it's just, she's just a hoe. Just kind of getting.
She's so sexually active.
She's a hoe.
We all are.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even going to politically correct it. But all right, if you want to, it's fine. But she was out there in the script giving people opportunities that didn't. Actually, she was using them.
Yes.
As much as they were using her. Because it was sort of like if you got an eyedropper full of arsenic and you put it under your tongue, you're going to die. But if you got an eyedropper full of arsenic and you drip it in a baby pool, right, you dilute it. So the more sex she had, the more the intimacy was diluted. And so it wasn't a matter of and I get what you're saying, like if you, this is where you are sexually and you're exploring these things because there's an intention to explore this sexuality as opposed to doing it as a result of trauma. Is where I say you're a hoe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not intentional. It's I'm trying to, I guess, substitute for something else that I'm lacking. And it's such a, it's her trying to cope with intimacy that has been violated in her mind. And then, but the problem is now you're 28, right? And you're still using the solution that you came up when you were 10 years old to move forward. And all the things that you've learned in the course of 28 years, different relationships and different situations you've been in, you never reassess the problem or the trauma and figure out a way to deal with it in a better way.
Yeah, nobody wants to listen to Kendrick Lamar. They'd rather listen to Drake.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because you always had somebody go, nigga.
Nigga, what? Like, yeah, I was always just, someone was always calling me on my shit.
What do you think the biggest mistake you were making was all the time, Jordan? What was the biggest thing that you kept doing?
What was my biggest mistake?
Or most common, repetitive, like?
You'd keep I'm a doing. Pacer, man. I heard Kanye's drive slow. I took that shit serious, man. Drive pace, slow.
In what sense? What do you mean?
Drive slow, man.
I don't know Jordan to make a lot of the same mistakes.
Yeah, you know drive mean? Slow. Yeah, I'm a... Like, bro, let's put it like this. Yo, they told me, you tell me, yo, bro, cops is killing niggas, man. Mm. Bet. All right. You told me that. That's installed in me.
I'm good.
The video come out, it don't make it any realer to me now that there's a video, nigga. Y'all told me what was going on. Like, I read it in a book. It's like, why? Like, it was no disconnect in this shit. Like,
right. I don't remember you making a lot of the same mistakes.
No, I fuck up. It's like, oh, I fucked up. Somebody tell me about it. You know, some people get mad when they hear about themselves. Like I said, I had to hear about myself my whole life.
Yeah.
So it's like, please give me, it's not, even when you give me feedback that I don't think is good, I take that shit in and I'm a different person after that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's dope.
So yeah, I'm all about going forward, man.
Yeah, that's a lot. I don't even think you even understand how ahead of the game that is. How ahead of the game? It's hard for somebody to say what is it like to be you, because you like nigga me.
Yo, look, this is the thing. Now as I'm 31, man. I'm so happy to have a sad, rich archetype at the head of the family.
Right.
Because, like, niggas be like, I'm trying to get rich. I'm trying to do this. I'm like, nigga, we rich right now.
Right.
If you had more money, you'd be paying everybody's health insurance.
Right.
You get a phone call every day like, yo, auntie broke a hip. You'd be like, yo, I don't even know this bitch.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, we need $5,000, like.
Yeah,
you'd be like, everybody want to be famous, but it's like, bro, if you were famous, bro, you couldn't go get coffee. You couldn't go do nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all for the pacing of this thing. Like,
yeah.
This is the scenic route. I think I watched the last episode of Atlanta. The last episode of Atlanta is like, yo, Van's on a fucking, it's like just running through Paris, like wilding.
Right.
And like, she's like, her friends are like, yo, what y'all? No, first it starts off her friend, like, this girl is in Paris, and her friends are like, yo, what are you doing here? How do you fly out here? She's like, I'm here to pee on this dude. They like, what? Crazy. And they go on this crazy adventure. But the whole thing was, be careful how you want to get to things. Yeah. Because you can get to the most beautiful shit by doing some bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you're unhappy with it. It's, let me ask you this. It's funny because I didn't, you know, I see you as such a different entity as your brothers and stuff. I mean, how did the whole Will Smith thing affect you in any way?
Yo, my show's been selling out.
Really?
Nah.
Really?
When I went to DC the week after, bro, that shit was like a press conference.
Yeah. Did you talk about it or no?
I talked about it recently on like Kev on Stage. I did Keep Your Distance.
Yeah.
And I just threw out some jokes. I don't really. I played the internet for the day. I put up like a tweet and
I saw it.
People go crazy, and then I deleted it before fucking USA Today and everybody came through.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's more for that's trippy for it's trippy because it's my brother's dealing with it.
Yeah.
For me, it was interesting just because I feel like I've just been a part, a step aside from all the major stories and all the major beefs this year. Mm-hmm. I go from Pete and everybody blowing up my phone about Pete and Kanye,
right?
To fucking this thing.
Yeah.
And then let alone all the other stuff, you know, real life shit that's going on. So, that the slap just made me more happy to be me, more happy with my pacing. And
Well, you know, it's funny you talk about something you just said. Yo, you want to wrap this, Harry, and then we'll do this behind
Let's talk on the Patreon. Yeah. Let's.
We got to do a little bit out, or a little couple more minutes on the Patreon.
Go subscribe to that Patreon. You know, like and subscribe. Sound off in the comments, my nigga.
Yeah.
Also, hit me on TikTok.
Tell them what the TikTok is, dog.
I'm not on fucking TikTok.
No, you're not.
Nah. TikTok is a Chinese, it's a Chinese Trojan horse.
All right, whatever. What? Anything you want to plug other than the Pete Davidson thing? Anything else you want to plug?
Pete Davidson and presents The Best Friend, streaming on Netflix. Keep Your Distance set. I'm probably going to upload that to YouTube in the next week or two, so be on the lookout for that. And watch Love Life, season 2 on HBO Max.
No, dope. Harry, talk to me.
You just find all my stuff at Harry Terjanian.
Yo, you know, Google me, bitch. Y'all know where I'm at. Dante Nero. Dante. And don't forget to sign up for the Patreon. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution being podcasted. Check out YouTube, Manschool 202. Consultations, DanteNero.com. Click on consult. You can talk to me direct. We are out.